The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas. Later on in the show, Ali Moreno will be here to reflect on Atleti dropping points at the top of the table. Real Madrid closing the gap after a late winner from Karim Benzema. Meanwhile, in Germany, wins for Bayern Munich and Borussia Dortmund. Jan Agafjortov will be joining us to discuss them. We'll start, though, in the Premier League. Chelsea missing out on the opportunity to stretch the points difference between them and West Ham. They could only manage a 0-0 draw against Leeds. Leeds, meanwhile, Manchester City might just win this league, you know. They won 3-0 away against Fulham today. Welcome to the show, Frank LaBeouf and Stevie Nicholls. Stevie, should we start with Chelsea? I suppose we will. 0-0, disappointing in the fact that they can't quite get it done in the final third again.
Yeah, they can't quite get it done, and yet again, more changes. The changes haven't made any difference to Chelsea going forward. You understand that Tuchel is looking at everybody. He had Pulisic starting today, which was unusual, but no change there, nothing particularly much from that side. He had a couple of balls he fired across the penalty box, but that was it. And so I think eventually Tommy Tuchel has to decide on a front three and leave them alone. Because not only are the front three not connecting with each other, but it makes it difficult for the midfielders as well when they're playing with different players. You know, players make slightly different runs and they time the runs differently. You know, so every time you step on the field, you can't get a connection with the front three and you can't get a connection between the middle three trying to play the front three in. So, you know, Thomas Tuchel's going to have to make some tough decisions soon and start playing a settled front three. Otherwise, this seems like it's going to continue firing blanks.
Steve, you mentioned there Christian Pulisic, of course, given a rare start. A lot of people have been clamouring for him to play more, Frank. How would you assess his performance?
It was an encouraging performance from Pulisic, but overall, you know, at front, it was a disappointing performance from all players, you know, involved in that part of the field. They can't find each other. It's like they don't know each other. It's like they don't really know what's going on, especially Ziyech and Havertz, where they make the same runs. It's like they kind of look alike in the game. It was interesting to see Pulisic, but if you put Pulisic on the right side, which is, I think, the wrong side, because it's mostly a guy who can start the action from the left side, being right-footed, and therefore, you know, get a pace in the game and find a solution to, at the end of the day, shoot with his right foot. Maybe you can find him useful, but on the right side, he's completely useless for me, and he didn't show more because of that position, except giving crosses. I'm very disappointed with the way they play, and as you said, and as TV mentioned, you know, the last third is absolutely horrendous for me from Chelsea. Of course, another clean sheet. It's a point away from home, but they had an opportunity to give a big pressure on tomorrow's game between Manchester United and West Ham, where you could be close to Manchester United. You could put West Ham away from you, and at the end of the day, you get a disappointing draw. And the result is there. Let's say the result is there, the clean sheet is there, but I'm not convinced again with the offensive aspect of Chelsea game.
Stevie, it seems no matter what the personnel is, we're seeing the same sort of pattern from Chelsea in that defensively they look sound, but when it comes to that final third, they don't really like scoring.
Well, here's the thing that struck me about this when I'm watching the game. The very first thing that struck me was Kai Havertz has been told to play as a centre forward. You know, we've been talking about how Chelsea are being misfiring going forward. We've been talking about what's happened to Werner and Havertz. You know, where's this? Where's the form? And then last weekend, Havertz is man of the match. And he's playing off the front. So, as a coach, surely I'm going to sit there and go, well, you know what? This guy was our best player today. Let's make sure that next time we step on the field, we'll play him in the same position. In fact, why don't we play the same players around them and then he might produce again? But no. It's a completely different squad going forward, a completely different front three. There's Zaitz coming in and playing behind Havertz. I mean, completely changes it. So that's the bit I don't understand. You actually do something that works, that you've been struggling to find, and then the next time you have a game, you change it. That makes no sense to me as a coach.
I very much agree with what Stevie just said. You know, you can have a rotation system, especially with forwards players, as long as they really know each other. And they really know each other. Where you have Werner, Havertz, Ziyech, Pulisic, Giroud, who in fact discover each other, it's impossible to have a rotation system because they don't know what to do with the ball. They don't know what automatically the partner is going to do. And it's a real nightmare. And it's what we feel. And if you know a little bit of football, if you're interested and you see every game Chelsea plays, it's like they look for each other every game they play.
You mentioned it, Frank, a very good day in the end for the likes of West Ham. You can Spurs in that conversation, Leicester as well, because not only did we see Chelsea dropping points, but also Everton as well, losing at home against Burnley. Like Everton overall, you wouldn't trust them with anything, would you, Frank?
It's a hard time, you know. We talked about that and about the consistency and on every team that in fact is not appearing. We don't see any consistency except Manchester City right now. Suddenly we see teams losing 5 games in a row or 6 games in a row at home, and that's Liverpool, the former champion. We saw Chelsea when we thought Chelsea could win the title. They disappear and go absolutely horrendous for like a month. Then we talked before about Tottenham as well getting there, and we lost them. So it's impossible to calculate anything and to predict anything because maybe of the pandemic, I don't know, it's maybe a special season. We can't talk about, oh, they play at home, so they have an advantage. No, they have no fans. It's not an advantage anymore. It's a very strange season. So making a statement, saying that, Everton's going to go there or Chelsea's going to go there or Liverpool, it's impossible. It's almost impossible. This season, we cannot do that because we have no structures, foundation about a season like that.
Everton fans, of course, were given hope, Stevie, because of a good start to the campaign. You looked at the fixtures, you thought there's no Europe to distract them. They can focus on every game as it comes. Yet, look at their home form. They lost 4 of their last 5.
Yeah. You know, I think there are two players for me that are the most important at Everton, and that is Doucouré in the middle and obviously Calvert-Lewin up front. And when Doucouré's not played this year, they've struggled. And unfortunately for them, he didn't play today and he's maybe not going to play for the rest of the season. And so that's a huge blow to any hopes they ever had of getting in the top four. And it's pretty much as simple as that. When Doucouré's missing in the middle or you don't have Calvert-Lewin, this Everton side is just a run-of-the-mill mid-table Premier League team. When they have those two in particular and they're at their best, then they can give the big boys a game. But I'm sorry, I think today just kind of tells me exactly that without Doucouré, they can forget top four.
Meanwhile for City, no De Bruyne, no Gundogan, no Foden, no Mahrez, no Sterling, no problem. 3-0, and we saw...
Hey.
Go on. What, Stevie?
Two centre forwards.
And we saw Aguero.
Can you believe it?
And Jesus, two centre forwards, a rarity, obviously, now. Did it work, Stevie? Does it matter if it worked?
But did you see the scoreline? 3-0. Who scored? Jesus, Aguero.
Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing. You know, for so long, we're like, this team can't win in and we're at centre forward. It never played with a centre forward, it seemed like forever. And then they turned up today and they've got two centre forwards. I mean, Yeah, this team's becoming a complete and utter machine. And that's what they were today. Seven changes, but same result.
Yeah, exactly that, Frank. It's difficult to say too much more on this game, isn't it?
Yeah, it took them like 10 minutes to settle down, and after we didn't see, we only saw one team. Fulham tried, and Fulham plays well, but you know, they held it for like 45 minutes, and second half, 15 minutes, three goals, bye-bye, that's the end of the game. And that's Manchester City, and as Stevie said, it's an ultimate machine. And there's nothing much you can say. They're going to win the league, and I said it like 2 months ago, with at least 10 points ahead of everybody. They're already 15 points ahead, and that's quite normal. They are the best team.
Some big games on Sunday we'll be discussing on the next edition of the show, as I thank you very much, gentlemen. Manchester United taking on West Ham. Meanwhile, it's the North London derby. Spurs against Arsenal. Big opportunity for Spurs to close the gap on fourth place.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Atletico Madrid missed the opportunity to stretch their lead at the top of the table to 8 points, as they can only manage a 0-0 draw against Getafe. Earlier on in the day, we saw Real Madrid come from behind to seal a 2-1 win, thanks to a brilliant goal from Karim Benzema. We'll talk about that in a moment. But as Ali Moreno joins us, Ali, let's start with the league leaders. We've seen this, haven't we, over the last few weeks, Atleti failing to get it done against inferior opposition.
Yes, we have, Dan, and you would have thought, you may have thought, okay, the game in the midweek, Athletic Bilbao, they come back against Athletic Bilbao, mm-hmm. It's 2-1, they win the game, you may have thought, you know, this is the moment in which Atletico Madrid just kind of presses that reset button, and this is when they continue to believe in who they are, that was going to be the moment in which they say, you know what, this is our league to win. We're still in first place. They have to come and chase us. They have to come and get us. Let's follow up that result with a good performance against Getafe. And you would have been wrong. Up until the Alan Neom red card that changed how the game looked and the way in which Getafe was not allowed to attack anymore, and they just played and hung on as best as they possibly could, and David Soria, the goalkeeper, came up with saves, and Luis Suarez hits the post, and so on and so forth. But up until then, it was a very even match, and Atletico Madrid must look at Getafe and say, well, they're a lesser version of ourselves, but a version of ourselves nonetheless. So Getafe is not afraid of the physicality. They're not afraid of the challenges. They're not afraid of the 50-50s. In fact, I think they welcome it. And Atletico Madrid just played that game with Getafe, and it was also everything through the midfield, nothing of quality really on either attacking box, on either attacking half. And again, up until the red card that changed the dynamic of the game, it felt like a 0-0 game. Moussa Dembele came in, made a difference, should it really score. And that's perhaps something that Simeone should look into doing in the future. As good as Luis Suarez has been, yeah, leave him on the field, but have somebody around him that can do the physical part, that can do the hold-up play, so that then Luis Suarez can do the little runs in behind, the little diagonal movements. He can no longer work side to side. He can no longer give you the hold-up play, because I think he's spending energy away from what he is best, and what he is best is around goal. So maybe Simeone thinks about doing this in the future, but what we know, and we have confirmation time and time again over the last 3 weeks, Atletico Madrid is leaking oil, and they don't seem to be able to create the separation that they need.
A win for Barcelona on Monday against Huesca. It's only 4 points, Ali, and I don't think any of us quite foresaw this happening from Atleti.
No, not at all, because even though every game for Atletico Madrid seems to be difficult, seems to be tense, seems to be one goal difference, Luis Suarez penalty, or something that in the end breaks the way of Atletico Madrid, we've all sort of accepted that, well, this is who they are. This is how they get. This is how they win games. And we become sort of used to them being able to figure it out in the end. And somehow they win it 1-0. They win it 2-1. And it felt like it was tight. It felt like it was close. But it was just enough. Well, all those games that were just enough at the beginning of the season, now they're not enough. Mm. Whatever they're doing is not enough. Against Getafe, yeah, maybe in the end they had chances, but it's not like they deserve to win the game outright. Against Villarreal, it's a game that they probably should have lost, and they won. Against Athletic Bilbao, they did not have any of the possession of the ball. It was all Bilbao, and yet they found a way to win. You see the signs here that this is a team that is barely hanging on and hoping that they can see the finish line. Man, it's getting tighter, and it's going to get even tighter if Barcelona beats Huesca.
Real Madrid, meanwhile, with the win against Elche. This game pretty much instantly forgettable, apart from Karim Benzema's performance.
Yeah, and a couple of things to, I think, bring up before we talk about Benzema is the change in formation by Zidane. He decides, you know what, the strongest part of my team is the midfield, and so I'm going to rest Toni Kroos and I'm going to rest Luka Modric, looking ahead to Atalanta in Champions League. And in doing that, he went to a back three. Sergio Ramos came back into the lineup. The first time he played in 3 months. That's important. That's encouraging. So and it felt like, okay, well, this kind of makes sense. Vinicius was playing more of a central role. We haven't seen that a lot of that. But okay, all right. Let's see if we can pull it off. Mm-mm. For the first 10-15 minutes, it was all Real Madrid. And then after that, it was even. And Elche goes up 1-0, and you're thinking, this is the moment with 20 minutes to go in which Real Madrid are bidding farewell to any sort of opportunity that they may have had to challenge for this title. And Karim Benzema comes up with a nice goal on the header and an even nicer goal on the 93rd minute, the game winner. What a volley that was from Karim Benzema, and a moment in which they needed it the most. You talk about critical goals for Real Madrid over the end of the last season and early this season. It's all coming from Karim Benzema. And if you look around, all those other guys that play around him, yeah, they may have a moment here and there. But the only consistent performer for this team in the final third continues to be Karim Benzema. When he's not on the field, they have no chance. It really is that simple.
Atletico Madrid or the field, Ali?
Oh, man, you ask me this question every week. And every week I'm thinking, you know, they still have the points. They still have the lead. Logic would tell you they still have to go and catch them. And Barcelona has to be perfect. And Real Madrid has to be perfect. And they really haven't been. But Barcelona in league play continues to be very good. And the momentum is with them. It just feels like the feel is getting stronger. I'm leaning the feel, but I'm gonna stay with Atletico Madrid.
Ali Moreno, as always, thank you very much. I look forward to asking you the same question every week from now until the end of the season. Just a reminder, you can download our daily podcast, which is always available on our website. Be sure to go and do that now.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Meanwhile, in Germany, goals from Goretzka, Gnabry and Lewandowski saw Bayern Munich comfortably beat Werder Bremen by 3-1. For the moment, that puts them 5 points clear at the top of the table. Leipzig, of course, in action at big game against Eintracht Frankfurt on Sunday. Let's welcome in, shall we, Jana Agafjortov to the show. Jan, comfortable day's work for Bayern. Some flashes of brilliance in this game.
Yeah, there was. I mean, Lewandowski could have beaten Gerd Müller's record today. I mean, he hit the post two or three times. It was a very comfortable win. Having said that, Werder Bremen team has been okay lately, and your sergeant has been doing okay, but Bayern just did what it had to do. And like you said, some good goals there with Goretzka on the sheet again. and a Müller with a fantastic assist to Gnabry's goal. And yeah, Bayern are just marching on, and RB Leipzig got an answer tomorrow.
It's interesting you bring up that assist from Thomas Müller, and watching this game, you just think, Jürgen Love, the summer, European Championships, it's your last chance, it's your swan song. Is there any chance we could see him try and patch things up with Müller ahead of that tournament, given how key he has been to Bayern's success over the last forever years?
Three players that he said, Boateng, Hummels, Müller, I don't want to be candidates, but now I think things are slowly moving towards that at least Hummels and Müller will be there. Right. What does the German national team need? They need that kind of player. By Bayern, they need him all the time now. He is the identity of the team. He's the glue in their team. He's the guy that put everything together. And may I say that Germany are desperate for that as well. Joachim Löw was criticized not traveling around watching players. He's been around Munich now for a while. So I expect him, at least Thomas Müller, to be in that squad going into the Euros in this summer.
Yeah, and obviously we don't know the dynamic. We don't know what goes on in locker rooms behind closed doors. But everything you see and hear from Thomas Müller, it seems difficult to put him in a place where he's that disruptive that you don't include him in a squad.
No, but I think it was just a matter of Joachim Löw had to do something. I mean, if he ended his career after he was a World Cup, he would be a big, big hero in Germany. Joachim Löw, lately, they have lost a bit credit among fans. And he felt he had to do something. In my opinion, he did the wrong thing. Maybe you could say that you wanted to try some alternatives back there with Boateng, Hummels. But you can't take out Thomas Müller. Mm. It's not possible. He is identity. He is the scorer. He is the assist king. And everything, and he makes great atmosphere. And of course, this was a thing from Jürgen Löw to show that he was the leader going against Bayern with two of their players. Well, let's put it this way. It didn't work out for you, Joachim Löw. And now you have to come back and take at least two of them with you to the Euros.
So away from Bayern Munich, we saw Borussia Dortmund with a 2-0 victory over Hertha Berlin. The obvious question to you, Jan, is where is the Hertha Berlin goalkeeper from?
A fantastic save the first half when he saved that ball from Bellingham. And it was a sad, sad game. Then the Norwegian, Haaland, had a quiet game. And then, yes, the goalkeeper from Norway, Rune Jarstein, terrible mistake. Brandt was shooting, and I was actually sitting in the studio with my colleague, and I said, "Don't shoot!" And it was 1-0, and it was a major thing. And I hoped for Rune Jarstein that it was a deflection. I hoped that the ball was going like this,
yeah.
But that was not the case either. It was just a bit that you had to expect. And to be fair to the young, old Norwegian goalkeeper, the second goal was not the best thing either. So 2-0 for Dortmund in a very, very boring game, but I don't think they care when you have a look at the table.
No, that was it, because you think it's been such a frantic week. You had the Clásico, everything that happened then. You had Sevilla holding on to get into the quarterfinals of the Champions League. This was almost, if you're a Dortmund fan, you're like, where was the drama? Where was the tease? Where was the hope that'd be taken away? And this, it was all very straightforward and exactly what they needed, you say, for their chance to the top four.
Yes, they're very close to Eintracht Frankfurt tomorrow, then, of course, playing RB Leipzig. And I think they'll be happy now with these 3 points, and they will soon forget that it was a terrible game. I think that Hertha Berlin, they came there, having had a look at the table. Maybe we can steal a point. And so to say, Dortmund was tempted to play the weaknesses of their own game. It was very, very slowly. It all came over the right side. Left side, no Sancho, there was nothing going on there. And then, there is one thing that the strikers, or Erling Haaland and all the offensive players don't like, is crosses. And in the first half, they were crossing all over the place. But at the end, it was good. They won 2-0, Brandt with a goal, and Moukoko came on, the 16-year-old, born in 2004, 2 years after I retired. Oh, wow, wow, wow.
Why don't we see more of Moukoko? Yeah, and obviously came on, kind of burst onto the scene earlier on in the season, but I feel his appearances have been fleeting since he scored.
Well, I think that every 16-year-old will be influenced by everything that's been written about him. I think that the good thing about him is that he can kind of, not under the radar, but when you have all these, you have Reina, Sancho, Bellingham, Haaland, he can slowly develop into a great Bundesliga player, and he will. This is a special talent, and, well, hopefully they can be among the top four at the table. Yes, I know that my old club, Eintracht Frankfurt, will be up there, and they ask themselves that we are still there. But Frankfurt, this was a very much needed win. Now they have Köln before they go into the national team break, and I think Dortmund now need a couple of they need a break because you saw today Hummels, Reus, a lot of players getting injured now. So I think they need now a bit rest to take the last attack on that top four position. And if they win the cup final and they will be in the Champions League, they somehow save the season.
Meanwhile, Wolfsburg solidifying their place in the top four with a 5-0 victory over Schalke. The Mustafi own goal kind of summed up Schalke's season, didn't it, Jan?
Yeah, fantastic. Wolfsburg have been doing ever so well. And I think when you have a look at the table now, and even have a look at the goal difference, you can see now that Bayern, RB Leipzig and Wolfsburg, surprisingly enough with Mustafi or that Weghorst, whatever, that own goal and everything, that they will be up there. And a 5-0, okay, Schalke is the worst team since Tasmania Berlin in the Bundesliga, I guess. But still, you have to win them. And you have to do your work, and I'm very impressed by Wolfsburg.
Jan Arge Fjordtoft, as always, thank you very much for your thoughts. Just a reminder for a lot more reaction to what took place in football across the board over the last few days. Be sure to check out our YouTube channel. Well, the action continues on Sunday by Leverkusen against Bielefeld at 8:30. Then it's a cracking game at 10:30. Leipzig looking to close the gap on Bayern Munich at the top of the table. Eintracht Frankfurt trying to put space between them and the chasing pack in the Champions League spots. That is at 10:30 on Plus, and it all finishes with Stuttgart against Hoffenheim at 1 o'clock. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
That's it then. That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much, as always, for watching. Don't forget, the clocks go forward tonight. We will be back, though, of course, tomorrow. Lots going on. Stay tuned, though. Extra Time is next with Stevie and Frank. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. I'm so pleased that Frank's here, but even more pleased that Stevie's here, because so many people, Stevie, have sent me this video today of you scoring an own goal against Middlesbrough, which is apparently on this day,
the lob,
back in 1993. And that's our first question. What was going through your head when you scored your infamous own goal,
nothing.
Stevie?
Nothing. That was a problem. I was a weary of fairies. I had been up, my missus had been up the whole night on Thursday night with a problem in her right down the front of her breastbone, her chest, right? And I ended up taking her to the hospital at stupid o'clock Friday morning, so I didn't sleep, and then I had to come back And then we were training in the morning. I was late for training. And then we got on a bus down to Middlesbrough. And then I'm trying to get in touch with her. And I'm trying to sort the kids out and everything. I didn't think I would be starting the Middlesbrough game. And so I had a horrible night, Friday night as well. And then ended up starting. So my head was empty, basically. I just wasn't thinking straight. And they had just changed the rules to where you can't pass it back to the goalkeeper.
Sure.
So because I wasn't thinking, I was halfway through putting it back to the goalkeeper, and then I realised it was too late, and then I couldn't stop myself because Jambo was coming out to clear it. And I put it over his head into an empty net. It was a great finish, but...
It was.
I remember it well.
Do you remember who scored the Liverpool goals in that game?
No, you're kidding. My head was wasted. I had no idea what day of the week it was.
I can tell you, and this will give away as to who sent me this, a Mr. Don Hutchinson scored in that game.
Hutchinson.
Along with a certain Ian Rush.
Oh. See, we won anyway.
There you go. Did you like the green kit, Stevie? Were you a fan of the green away kit?
No, it was horrible.
Really?
It was awful. One of, if not the worst kit we ever had.
Wow.
And it coincided with us. We couldn't win. I think we went through a period of about 9-10 months where we never won an away game wearing that thing.
Wow.
Something crazy like that. Yeah, it was horrible. Hated it. Green and white, Liverpool, you're having a laugh.
Frank, have you been in situations like that when what's going on off the pitch affects you on it?
No, I didn't even need it, that kind of thing, to be bad at some point, you know, and against Newcastle. And you sent me, remember that you sent me the video, and it's very funny that Don Hutchinson sent you a video about him scoring a goal and Stevie, you know, scoring an own goal. And I think Craig sent you a beautiful video of himself scoring a beautiful goal against Newcastle and me having a nightmare. I think there is a kind of conspiracy there.
Yes.
Between pundits, you know. But yeah, but no, it never happened to me that something on the field influenced my game. But I don't know. You know, sometimes you feel stuff and it happens otherwise. And it happened to me against Newcastle again. That video is absolutely fantastic, remembering me that I could have been the worst defender in the world. But it can happen to the best player in the world. Look, Steve Nicholls as well.
You can only have Harry Kane or Lewandowski in your team.
Thanks, Frank.
Who do you choose and why, Stevie?
Who and Lewandowski?
And Harry Kane.
Kane. Have you heard of him?
Oh my goodness, that's a toughie.
Is it?
Well, it is, yeah. Because I don't think Lewandowski could do for Spurs what Harry Kane's doing. But Lewandowski's absolutely fantastic. How do you choose? Listen, I'm going to go with Lewandowski because what he's doing as far as scoring goals is concerned is just. It's just off the charts. And if you're anywhere close to Gerd Müller, then you must be good. So I'm going to go for Lewandowski because of that.
Frank?
3 years ago or 2 years ago, I would have gone for Lewandowski. He's an absolute fantastic finisher, no doubt about that. But what Harry Kane is showing, especially this year, you know, being able to create actions, of course, always finishing is a fantastic striker, but also being able to be a number 10, giving so many assists, makes changing my mind about the way that somebody can bring something else. And Harry Kane can be a fantastic finisher, and I'm pretty sure he would be playing for Bayern Munich. He would score many, many goals. But on top of it, he could give assists and many assists to others. So I will pick Harry Kane.
Wow. Which player's signed shirt is one that you wanted but couldn't get, Frank?
Ronaldo, in the final of the World Cup. I would have loved to have his shirt, but I know because I didn't want to go there because I knew that he was very disappointed.
Yeah.
And. I didn't want to go there, you know, and ask him for his shirt. So, and I said, on top of it, I think my family would love my two shirts. So if I swap a shirt, I will have one less. So I won't do it. But yeah, I would have loved to have Ronaldo's shirt, of course.
Wow. Have you seen him since, Frank?
Yes, I saw him once. I was with my lovely wife. I was in the Parc des Princes and I was with the former captain of Paris Saint-Germain, Rai. And I was seated next to Rai and Ronaldo came and say hi to Rai. And Rai said, oh, can I introduce you to Frank Leboeuf? And he definitely didn't recognize me. He didn't know where I was.
He blanked you. Steve, have you got anybody shirts from the day? Anyone's at all?
No. I've got a few old Liverpool players because I was going round trying to get some strips to put in a wee snooker room
right
in my house in Liverpool. So I was going round and I got Ian St John's, I got Billy Liddles, got one for Kenny, one for Banzi. Just went through round the boys. But other than teammates now. Be too embarrassed to go up to somebody.
Nice.
Hey, mister, here's your strip. Yeah, right.
Go on, Frank.
Nice story about a Liverpool player. And you know, Kevin Keegan used to work for ESPN and I had the chance to work with him. And one day he said, I definitely want your shirt from the 76, 77, where, you know, with Kenny Dalglish, I mean, you were playing against Saint-Etienne. Can you get me one of your shirt? And he said, you know what? I got everything in a big Anusso cabin that gypsies are taking care of. So I don't know if I can get the keys and everything. And in fact, we lost contact and I never got the shirt from Kevin Keegan. It would have been a fantastic memory for me.
What a terrible story.
Yeah, but you know, it's what it is. That's the truth. That's only the truth. Why is it a terrible story? You know, maybe he's going to listen to us and he's going to go there to Newcastle. He's going to bring me the shirt. Finally, Kevin, wake up. I need your shirt, for God's sake.
Frank.
Whatever.
Frank, I don't want to upset you, but he just didn't want to turn around and say, leave me alone, I don't have any.
Yeah,
so he made up a story.
Exactly.
Oh, I don't know where.
It is a nice block. You know, Kevin is a very nice person. Say that.
Top break in snooker, Stevie. Now we got to ask with your snooker room ways.
Oh God, not a lot.
No.
Well, it was a three-quarter table.
Okay.
So I'm going to probably say about 50 something.
Right.
But that was a one-off.
I think Burley told me
that's
that
a one-off.
I think Burley said 97 he got ones.
Aye.
I think it was pretty decent.
Well, he used to go down to the snooker hall every afternoon, or when he was finished at Chelsea when he was a kid.
Yeah.
And actually play all the time. I mean, that's 90 odd on a proper table. Yeah. My goodness, that's mad.
That's big. As your snooker skills, Frank.
My sneakers? What do you mean?
I'm better at pool.
What do you want? If I had my own sneakers?
No, your snooker skills.
What is a snooker? The table snooker?
Yes.
We don't play that.
No.
We don't play that. Pool. I use calling pool.
Pool.
No, we don't play. We're not English.
Yeah.
We don't play that.
And you play a lot of...
British, sorry.
You play like table football as well, don't you? When I was in France, it was in every bar.
Oh, foosball.
Yeah.
Foosball. Yes. I don't play either. I don't play that kind of stuff, you know.
No, of course not.
I used to play golf. I play flipper. You know flipper in the bar?
Pinball.
When you have the thing like that? Yeah, pinball, exactly.
Pinball.
I play that.
There we go. Good.
I love that.
Flipper.
Final question. Frank, if you could play one famous person in a movie, who would you choose to play?
Oh.
Fabian Barthez?
Well, yeah.
Well, we need any makeup.
No.
Stuart Robson?
I think I would play
Yul
somebody
Brenner.
Bald or almost bald.
Yeah.
I would love to play, I don't know, maybe one day play Jacques Chirac.
Oh, okay.
You know, one day. Or
that's quite serious.
Mr. François Mitterrand.
Wow.
Yeah, very serious,
serious
movie,
roles,
political
Frank.
Movie.
Yeah. That's it then, boys. Thank you very much. Just a reminder, ESPN FC back on your screens tomorrow. The likes of Manchester United against West Ham and the North London derby for us to discuss.